The Business Buzz Podcast.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz right here on VFM 88.1. My name is Mudiwa Mob Justice Gavaz and I'll be your host until about 8 p.m. This is the Business Buzz, as I said, for your weekly dose of business, finance and economics news when we are here broadcasting in our studios in Bromfontein. And who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining and enlightening? So definitely make sure you keep it locked. We are here until 8 p.m. On the show today, it's looking to be quite an interesting one. It is the last Thursday of March, which means it's time for us to revive, you know, something that we do here on the Business Buzz. It is our first brand new heavy for 2019. And basically what that is every last Thursday of the month, we like to celebrate a young person in South Africa who is doing the things in their field of endeavor, in their industry, in their hustle. And today, you know, today is no different. Our first brand new heavy, I hope I pronounced this correctly, but it's Darutolo Jalmeni, right?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm excellent, brother. How are you doing?
No. I'm doing all right. Are you looking forward to sharing your heart with us?
Look, I'm always looking forward to engage and having a great time and engaging in conversations that are very fruitful. I believe everybody's story is important. Everybody's story is a gift.
Yeah.
And just to add, I'm very honored to be the very first guest on the feature in 2019. Let's just put it out there, guys, so that you guys know. I'm kidding. But I'm super excited to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that's what our show is going to be looking like. If you want to know a little bit more about Darutolo, he is a radio personality, a public speaker, an author, and the founder of Jalmeni Digital Management.
Soon to be author.
Soon to be author.
Yeah.
Yes. We're actually talking about this off air.
Yeah.
So definitely make sure you keep it locked. We are going to be talking to him in just a little bit. But before all that, we are going to be getting into our business wrap, where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And then straight after that, we get into the Buffalo Index, where we tell you the state of your 100 Rand. But remember that you can keep in touch with us on social media. We are Vow FM, that's Voice of Vits. You can find us on Facebook, that's Vow FM, Voice of Vits. And then our other Facebook page is Vits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at Vow FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. And then 0840784912, that is our WhatsApp line. And you can also stream the station live on vowfm.co.za. Remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz are available on vits.journalism.co.za. /business, and you can also search for us on Iono or iTunes. So definitely make sure. That's it for the show. As I said, it's our brand new heavy. We're about to get into our business wrap. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into the business wrap. That's a part of the show. We give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And on the line, we are joined by our financial expert. We have Lebo Pasha, who is a strategy and management consultant from FarmSaw, on the line to discuss the week's business news. How are you, Lebo?
I'm good. Good evening to you and the listeners. I'm Bart and
So I understand that, Discovery, in addition to keeping tabs on how people drive, how people exercise and the like, that they've actually now want to keep tabs on how we spend money through their new bank.
Yes, definitely. The long-awaited launch of the bank, Discovery has finally launched the world's first behavioral bank in a phased rollout that onboards a limited number of clients from its card division every day. And Discovery Bank has adopted a similar approach to Capitec's One Account, which combines the customer's transactional and credit accounts in a single facility.
Yeah.
The secret sauce behind the behavioral bank is an overlay called Vitality Money. And it's an offshoot from Discovery's own Vitality model. And it rewards customers for good financial behavior and also aims to educate customers on how to handle their personal finances better. One of the rewards is a dynamic interest rate that changes according to the customer's behavior.
So why does this actually, you know, matter for the man on the street? Because, you know, some people might be saying, but Lebo, I'm not even on Discovery, you know. So how does this, you know, impact the general public?
So the big thing about it is that Discovery has successfully disrupted the healthcare and insurance sector using its behavioral model in that sort of space. And together with the imminent launch of other new players in the banking space, Prime Bank and Zero Bank, The South African retail banking sector, which has traditionally been dominated by the big four banks, will definitely be disrupted. And Discovery's bundled gold accounts, which it has launched for low to middle income earners, will be the second cheapest in the country at 149 rand per month.
Yeah.
And Discovery's market research showed that lower income earning South Africans generally pay more, a higher proportion of their salary in banking fees. So Discovery aims to give more value to these customers.
So how can our listeners actually then participate? Because I think this is going to be quite a bit of a shift in the type of banking that's happening in the country. So how do people that are listening actually, you know, join the party?
So the best way for anybody to participate is actually getting some equity. Discovery CEO Adrian Gore has announced that 10% of the equity of the bank will be allocated to black depositors. So this has been done to satisfy transformation and social requirements for the bank to operate in the country. Discovery has chosen to go with a broad-based black economic empowerment structure instead of going with the typical BEE deal with a single empowerment business. The key about this is that social transformation is broader than shareholding and also includes finding ways to build an inclusive financial sector that caters for potential customers at the bottom of the pyramid.
Yeah.
And it'll really be interesting to see which one of these new banks will successfully launch an offering that addresses lower income earners, especially with Discovery's offering being priced this competitively.
Now, moving on from that, I understand that once again, the power utility is in the headlines, and it might actually put a little bit of pressure on the growth prospects of South Africa. What's going on with that?
So South Africa has had the deepest electricity blackouts in more than a decade as Eskom implemented stage 4 load shedding across the country. And stage 4 load shedding essentially means that Eskom shed 4,000 megawatts of electricity demand from the grid to relieve pressure from the grid. And increased load shedding has primarily been attributed to the diversion of funds that were set aside for maintenance as part of state capture. This has left many power stations across the country producing electricity at below their optimal levels. And even South Africa's newest power plant, the Nzula Pump Storage Scheme, has been declared defective and has been operating at lower load capacity. And to make matters worse, we've also got the tropical cyclone Idai. I'm sure the listeners have seen a lot of the media coverage around it. This worsened the situation by removing a further 900 megawatts from the grid as the cyclone affected transmission of power from Mozambique's Cahora Bassa hydro scheme.
So how has this actually affected the country's recovery from recession?
So apart from having cold suppers in dark rooms or spending more time on our daily commutes, I think South Africans can definitely expect to see some negative economic effects from load shedding. Business leadership South Africa CEO Bonang Mohale has estimated that each day of load shedding costs the South African economy 3 billion rand. The impact on consumer confidence and investments in the economy are still to be quantified, as it takes a bit of time for that essay to accumulate that sort of data.
And then how is government intervening to actually then fix the situation? Because I think that might be the concern on a lot of people's minds.
Yes, this has been a top priority for civil society, for business, and for government. And Eskom had an amount of 69 billion committed to it over the next 3 years that was certified by the finance minister to help turn around the utility. And government is also considering splitting Eskom into three separate entities to improve performance monitoring, accountability, and isolate risk. What remains clear to all of us is that Eskom continues to be a significant risk to South Africa's economic growth ambitions.
Mm. So with all of these growth prospects in mind, you know, something that the economy might react a little bit to is this anticipated ratings decision by Moody's, which is set to take place sometime this week. Some people are saying it's happening tomorrow. We're not too sure. But can you give us just a little bit around, you know, what's going on here?
Yes, I think we all can feel the sword, Damocles sword above our heads. But the ratings agency, Moody's Investors Service, is expected to pronounce on South Africa's sovereign credit rating this Friday, which is tomorrow. And Moody's indicated in February after the budget speech that the proposed budget speech showed a further erosion in South Africa's fiscal strength. That's our budgetary strength as a country.
Yeah.
And Moody's biggest concern in its latest rating announcement in December last year was that the South African government's debt burden would increase to worrying levels following Eskom's debt transfer of its debt to the country. The impact of this increased credit risk exposure was expected to be driven by measures Eskom would implement to restore its standalone financial strength. So Moody's was hoping that Eskom would sort out its own operational and financial issues with the help of government. Eskom's situation has actually deteriorated significantly since December 2018, despite the increased involvement of government in trying to turn around the situation.
So what do you think, what do economists, sorry, think Moody's ratings will actually be? I know they're always, there's forecasts and, you know, speculation and stuff like that. So what's the feeling on the street?
Right now, economists are split between those that foresee no change to the previous outlook and those that see a potential shift to a negative outlook.
Mm.
The deepest round of load shedding by Eskom is the top concern, as the lack of reliable electricity supply is expected to slow down the recovery from last year's recession. And South Africa's budget deficit is also expected to widen further to its worst level in more than 10 years,
yeah,
as tax revenues decline and as bailouts for struggling state-owned entities put more pressure on public finances. So even though Eskom is the biggest headache, there's a lot of other state-owned entities that also require bailouts, including SAA.
So what would that actually mean if there was a downgrade for South Africa?
So at this stage, most economists feel that a downgrade has already been priced into assets by the market, similar to the situation when Brazil was downgraded to junk. And expectations are that there shouldn't be any huge market shocks. However, investment bankers estimated that capital outflows of approximately $8 to $10 billion would result from South Africa being dropped from investment grade, and this would mean us being dropped from debt gauges like Citigroup's World Government Bond Index. And we could also get the other positive is that we could also get a reprieve and dodge the bullet. Moody's might just issue a research report instead of a ratings action, and this would allow them to issue a ratings action after the election. And this means that they would actually take a bit of time to see the actual impact of things like the load shedding we've just had and look at the country's stability post-election and the kind of messages they get from government post-election.
Yeah.
And another potential positive swing is that a reduction in outlook to negative usually tends to precede a cut in the rating. We're currently sitting at a stable rating, if indeed.
Cool. So that was us on the line. We were talking to Lebo Pasha, who is a strategy and management consultant with FarmSol, just giving us a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. As you heard, Discovery is out here trying to change the way that people actually bank by introducing behavioral banking. And South Africa's economy is at risk. The biggest country risk at the moment is Eskom and the load shedding issue. And then lastly, we have the Moody's ratings issue, which is said to be settled sometime tomorrow, and we're going to see what that ratings agency actually then says. The other big news for the week is just the fact that the South African Reserve Bank's monetary policy today decided to keep the repurchase rate, that's a repo rate, fixed at 6.75%. So if you're out on the streets, your cell phone contracts, bonds, car payments, and anything like that that has to do with interest rates and loans is more likely going to stay the same. And they anticipate that inflation is just going to remain in the same target bracket that's at the moment. So that's it in terms of the business drive for this week. On the other side of this, we get into the state of your 100 Rand.
The Business Buzz.
It is our brand new heavy episode. It is the first one for 2019, and we are joined in studio by Dalutlolo Jalmeni, who is in studio with us as our first brand new heavy for 2019. But before we really get into it with him, we decided that we need to talk about the state of your 100 Rand with our Buffalo Index, where we let you know what 100 Rand can actually get for you in this current economic climate. So because Dalutlolo is a public speaker, as one of the things on his, because he's a radio personality slash upcoming author slash, so we decided that we need to find out, you know, what can 100 Rand do for you if you want to kickstart your career as a public speaker. And we went out and we researched and we found out some very interesting things. The first one being that if you want to join the premier public speaking society in the world, that being Toastmasters, it will cost you about 7 buffaloes, that's 700 rand every 6 months. So you're looking at a total of 14 buffaloes for the year. And then if you want to perhaps get a bit academic about it, there's a book that was released by TED called Talk Like TED, The 9 Public Speaking Secrets of the World of Top Minds, which costs about 1.5 buffalo. So you're looking at around 160 rand. On the more extreme side, if you decide that you really need proper professional help, you can go for what's called an executive power speaking program that's being run by the Voice Clinic in Johannesburg. That will set you back 150 buffaloes. If your maths is working in your head, you should know that that's about 15,000 rand for a 2-day course that will, you know, get you up to par.
Started.
So very quickly, I'm just gonna, you know, ask, you know, which of these would you do?
Can I be honest, right? I wouldn't do any of those. I would take the, we speak about the 100 Rand, right? So I'd take the 100 Rand and buy data and see how much data. I'll see how much data I can get for 100 Rand. And I would literally invest that 100 Rand in data, and I'd go on YouTube and literally watch YouTube videos as to how do you become a professional speaker, and how do you harness and cultivate your speaking abilities or your talent or your gift. So that's literally what I would do, and that's literally what I did in my life. Like, I literally spent a lot of time on YouTube, spent a lot of time on internet watching other speakers, watching other you know, your Tony Robbins, watching your Dr. Miles Monroe on YouTube, and literally that's how I got into the whole speaking thing.
Okay, so if you want to know more about how, you know, this young man actually got to where he is, we'll be getting into our main topic for today, which is our brand new heavy. That was our Buffalo Index. So on the other side of this, we get into that. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
More justice on The Business Buzz.
We are back. Remember that you can keep in touch with us on social media. On Facebook, we are Voice of It. That's Vow FM. And you can also find our other Facebook page. That's The Business Buzz. And then on Twitter, we are at Vow FM. And then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. So as I said at the start of the show, today is our brand new heavy. That's the last Thursday of each month. We take time to celebrate a young person in South Africa, 35 years and below, who is doing the things in their particular field of endeavor. So as you've been hearing throughout the show, we're joined in studio by Dalutlolo Jalmeni, and he is a radio personality, he is an upcoming author, and also a public speaker who would invest 100 rand in buying data.
So that dude, I mean, like, we're in the fourth industrial revolution. You know, I wouldn't take my money, and I've got nothing against Toastmasters or any, and these other platforms that you mentioned, but I think everything exists on the internet, and that's where I'd spend my money.
Cool.
Yeah.
So one of the things that Dautola does is he's actually a radio personality.
Yeah, yeah.
So this life of being the mic is not anything new for him.
Yeah.
And he exists on, for those that know of a radio station that's in the Rosebank area.
Yeah.
You know, that's massive metro. So, you know, that's just one of the things. We've already spoken about the public speaking, and he said at the start, you know, upcoming author. So just give us a bit of a rundown, like, you know.
The beginning of the journey of radio or holistically?
No, holistically.
All right, cool. So I'm 23 years old. I'm from the Eastern Cape and it's London. Moved up here literally 3 years ago. DJ Spoo found me on social media. I'd been stalking him for 5 years prior to that. So he DM'd me at the end of 2016. He's like, listen, dude, I've got a job for you. We're starting a whole new radio station. It's an online radio station. It's Massive Metro. We want to give you a weekday show. Mm. Until 11, and we'd love for you to share your ideas as to how you can add value into our community and society. Prior to that, when I was in this land and I was doing Christian radio, I was at a Christian radio station, it's called Link FM, and I was doing a top 40 countdown show, and I was doing a Friday show as well.
Yeah.
So that kind of built my foundation on radio. I think I only took it seriously literally when this one guy came to the station. He had been listening on Friday, came to the station on Monday, and is like, listen, dude, you saved my life. literally, the radio is playing somewhere randomly, and he heard me speak, and he was like having suicidal thoughts, and I think I impacted him in a certain way. And then since then, it was like a turnaround point for me. And I was like, okay, cool. It's more than just, you know, having people, know you or being popular. It's all about using the platform to have some sort of good influence in your society, in your community, as well as just impacting people and sharing your story, entertaining people, and just overall adding value to the listeners. And, that was a turnaround point for me. So fast forward, come up to Joburg, I start the show, and quick story, I had to drop out of school when I came back, when I came up to Joburg.
Mm. At what level?
I was in second year, business management at Dameron. Yeah. So I actually didn't finish it. So I came up here and I was like, I actually didn't graduate. So I was like, okay, cool, I'm already in the mix of things right now. So I dedicated a show, a feature on my show called Hashtag Up a Graduate, where I help graduates find jobs, because we all know how hectic it is in South Africa with unemployment amongst young black people.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, cool. This is what I'm going to do amongst other, interesting features that I have. And since then, I've been able to help 23, graduates. My relationship with Spoo has just been phenomenal. He's been a great mentor. He's phenomenal. He's got a beautiful heart. And, he's done some amazing things that everybody knows of. He's taught me some great lessons about creating your own as a black person, understanding that you have the power within you to be whatever you want to be. He's literally contributed in my journey in helping me realize that my dreams are possible.
Mm.
So it's been a very interesting journey, but also it's not all it hasn't been easy. It's been flipping hard as well. You know, I've had some times where I actually want to give up, and I was like, okay, cool, I actually want to go home now. You know, I've had days where I call my dad, I'm like, Dad, I really want to go home. It's really tough here in Joburg. But because I'm passionate about what I do, and I really wanna make it to the end of God's purpose for my life on earth.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool. You know, you gotta dig deep inside, work on that drive, have tenacity, be committed, be resilient, and just be consistent. And, you know, in no time, slowly but surely, you start realizing your dreams and seeing them happen.
So for those who don't, who haven't listened to you on Massive Metro, what's your DJ name, and did you ever think your life would be one that exists in the spotlight like this? And has it changed you? Has changed you? Are you one of those guys?
Yeah, so it hasn't changed me. I've always...
DJ name first before.
DJ name, no DJ name. My name is Dali.
Okay,
well,
cool.
It's Dalutolo, but I have Dali for short.
Okay, cool.
So it hasn't changed me. I've always been like this. when I was 16, I looked at myself in the mirror. I was like, dude, what do you want to do for the rest of your life till you die? I was like, okay, cool. I want to be radio DJ. I want to be on television, TV presenter. I want to be speaker and travel the world, motivating and impacting people's lives. I want to write a book as well, because I want to share my stories and my journey. And since then, I've done nothing but investing in those dreams, in me wanting to get on radio, on TV, writing a book and traveling and speaking. You know, my parents at some point, they were like, are you sure about this? Why don't you study theology? My dad is a pastor. He's like, don't you want to study theology? My mom's like, don't you want to study psychology? I'm like, guys, this is what I'm going to do with my life, and I'm not going to stop at anything. So, it hasn't changed me, because I've always been this person. This is just but a platform, and it's very powerful. And they call us radio personalities, and I'm just sharing my personality, and I'm sharing my being within this platform and any other platform that I'm on. Whether I'm on a stage, I'm sharing who I am. Nothing has changed. I'm still driven. I'm still young. I'm still positive, and I'm full of life, and I just want to share that with the world.
So I like the fact that you brought up already the fact that, you know, your parents wanted you to do sort of a structured thing with your life.
Yeah.
So where are they now, one? And how's been the support? Because, you know, when it comes to creative pursuits, or, you know, some of these roads less traveled, it's a bit tough sometimes to get that family support. So How has that been for you?
Can I just say, I know this is like not part of the question, but they actually visited me for the very first time this weekend, so I'm so excited about that. So my parents, they're still there. They're still very supportive. It wasn't easy in the beginning, because they didn't really, you know, kind of like believe in this. Not that I blame them. I just had to educate them that, guys, times have changed, and, you know, we kind of like sort of have to adapt to, you know, all the other opportunities that are there. So I remember the first time, you know, I actually had to sit down with my dad, and I was like, really, dude, this is what I'm going to do with my life. I literally took him to a club. He's a pastor, and I was emceeing at the club. We had brought down AKA in London, and he was sitting at the back of the club drinking his stony, and I said, just watch me do this thing, and then after that we can have a chat. And then literally on our way home, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, on my way home he was like, literally, like, dude, like, I support you. But he still wanted me to do some of these things in church, and I was like, nah. so yeah, it's been interesting. They're very supportive. I love them so much.
Yeah.
They've invested so much in who I am. And you know, they've allowed me to be, as much as it wasn't easy in the beginning, but they really pushed me as well.
Interesting, some interesting facts about Dali is the fact that once upon a time, this young man was a hit boy.
I was.
In addition to that, he was also an SRC president.
Yeah.
So how do you think those positions have impacted, you know, the person that you are now, and how important is leadership to you, and what is your leadership style, if you have one?
All right, cool. So, I think, you know, being a head boy, because, like, Nkuleng Tandizindo, you know, I loved attention. I loved people. you know, I loved engaging with people, you know, finding solutions. And, you know, being a head boy and being an SRC president in college has literally, you know, given me, you know, insight as to how you can literally, I know this is going to sound wrong, but how you can literally, you know, just lead people, and just also be influential and impactful in a good manner, as well as just working collectively to achieve a common goal.
Yeah.
And so in varsity, the leadership style that I adopted was never about me wanting, like, yo, you have to do this, you have to do that. So I'd literally just be the person that allows people to share their views, and I'd literally be the person that always wants us to reach a common, you know, common ground and common, you know, approval of a certain thing. So for me, it's always been about the people. It's never been about me, even though I am a leader, but it's always about the people.
You're hustling.
Yeah.
Was it affected in any way by these leadership positions?
My hustling?
Yeah.
In what sense?
Because you do a lot.
Yeah.
Right? And as a leader, you have to do a lot.
Yeah.
So do you think that impacted where you are today, or have you just always been a person who likes to do a lot?
I've always been a person that loved to do a lot. I've never been one to just focus on one thing and I'm like, okay, cool, I'm happy with this. I've always just wanted to be involved in a lot of things, and I've always felt like if I'm doing one thing, I'm just not, you know, working towards maximizing on the potential that God has invested in me. So I believe my favorite scripture, I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So
hallelujah,
I'm taking to church, bro. So whatever I have in my head, whatever idea that God has given me in my head, I believe that I can execute it. So that's why I've always been just generally busy.
Now, earlier on you spoke about how one of the things that you're doing is helping people to find employment, graduates and the like. Can you just tell us a little bit about that? Does it have a name? Do you have a hashtag? I heard it's hashtag woke, but
that's the name of the show. So the name of the show is woke, hashtag woke, and then the name of the feature is hashtag help a graduate. So basically what we do on the show is that we've got different segments within the one feature where we profile career fields that you can get into, where we share job opportunities and markets out there that you can get into with your particular qualification, as well as what we do is that we invite professionals that are already operating in that space, and then we invite a graduate that is new into the market, fresh out of university, perhaps also they've been struggling to find a job for 3 years. We'll look for them, or they'll find us, and then they'll tell us, look guys, I'm struggling to get into this industry, like I haven't been able to find a job over 3 years. And then I'll be like, okay cool, Taboy here is works in the engineering space, he's got a company, Taboy, are you able to help this person get a job? And through that we've managed last year to help about 23 graduates, and it's been very fulfilling. I love it so much. I feel like it's an amazing feature, and it brings about so much impact and change, because when you help somebody get a job, you're not only just helping them, but you're helping the family as well, you know.
Now this is a business show.
Yeah.
So we need to know about the rands and the nairas.
Yeah.
And we understand that you have a business, Jomini.
Yeah.
Tell us, what is it? Because I think nowadays there's a lot of people that are putting the word digital. In their businesses.
And
sometimes we don't understand what it is really that they're doing. So can you tell us what you're doing?
It's pretty simple, man. Like, it's not even fancy. We just help people, small, medium businesses. We help them with their social media.
Yeah.
We're living in the fourth industrial revolution. Every company wants to be on social media. That's where most people are at right now. So we'll be like, okay, cool, we'll take your company and we'll give it a social media presence, right? We'll take your social media and your private capacity if you're a brand, and we'll give it a social media presence. We'll create websites for you, we'll do apps for you, or we'll just write content for you, curate content, video content. I've got my guy here, Mez, he's shooting video content for me, and we do that for other people as well. To say, okay cool, you don't have the time, like you're busy and you're trying to build your brand, let's shoot for you. Let's take your pictures, let's run your social media. So that's basically what I do.
And how's business?
It's hectic. Like, it's really, you know, like we all know, like sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, and sometimes you just want to close shop. But it's been fairly okay, you know. It's not as great as I'd love it to be, but it's okay. You know, it's cool.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I won't grill you too much. You know,
please,
you know,
don't.
Listen, you know, when you're talking to business people,
I know.
We want to know, like, is it happening?
Is
your business cash positive?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you breaking even?
Yeah.
Are you meeting your targets?
Yeah.
Are you in the red? Are you in the black? but yeah, okay, cool. I understand. So I guess you subscribe to the notion Gary V, Ty Lopez, and guys like
love
that.
Love him so much. I'm so happy that you mentioned Gary V. That's my guy.
Those guys are constantly saying that social media and social media management is a good way to get for a person to start their own business.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I guess you agree with it.
Love Gary V. And I agree with him. 100%. Yeah. Sometimes he talks crap, but 99% of everything that he says, I think it's relevant. And I think that, you know, most businesses and people and brands have to catch up and adapt. We are in the fourth industrial revolution. Yes, we're still behind in South Africa when it comes to that. But I feel like people like Gary Vee, are, you know, like really educating us as to how the world is right now and where we're going. And I want to be on the forefront of that here in South Africa.
Okay, cool. So we've spoken about the business, we've spoken about the career, we spoke about the family. I'm very interested to hear about your relationship with DJ Spoo.
Yeah.
Right. Because as you said, you know, like, unlike everyone else, he DM'd you.
I think.
You know, everyone else is trying to DM a DJ Spool, but he actually, DM'd you. So, how's been the relationship? And, you know, tell us that story.
Speaking about the DMing, sometimes when I'm like just feeling myself, I just go through my DMs. I'm like, yo, like, he actually DM'd me. But anyway, our relationship is very chilled. You know, like, he's, the first time I met him, he was like, listen, dude, I've always, like, followed you. And I think you're flipping amazing. And I want to work with you, like I said, on the DM.
Yeah.
And right now, we're introducing you to, like, obviously the industry. And we want to help you write a book. We want to help you build your brand. We want to help you become a better speaker and so forth and so forth.
Yeah.
And he was like, we're not going to literally do these things for you, right? We saw something in you, right? And you had it. Right now, we're just going to guide you. So our relationship is never, it's never like, yo, you need to do this right now. I do what I have to do, and he'll give me a call and say, okay, cool, I actually don't think that's a good idea. Or every once, like once in a month, like he'll say, okay, cool, let's actually go out for dinner or for breakfast. I need you to keep bringing up to speed as to what you've been busy with in the last 2 months or in the last month or so. And it's been a bit crazy right now. He's in LA doing the most. So it's literally like video calls and WhatsApping. But like, yeah, he's very special.
Are you used to it yet?
Sorry?
Are you used to it yet? That
I'm never used to it. I remember last year I did a lot of traveling with him. Like we did, like when he had his gigs and stuff.
Yeah.
I did a lot of that, as well as when he's speaking, I'll open up for him. Like I'd open, like, you know, obviously the event. I'm never used to it. Like even when he calls me sometimes, I'm like, ooh, he's calling me. Like, I don't know what happened, you know what I mean? So like it's not something I'm used to. And I think I never want to get used to it, because I just learn from him every time. And when he's in the room, you just always take away something. And he's just got this this beautiful energy, this beautiful atmosphere that he carries with him. And it's just phenomenal, you know, to experience that. And I'm very fortunate, I'm very grateful, and I'm very thankful to God for, obviously, bringing him into my life, because, you know, he's changed other people's lives through social media. But it's more so, like, it's so special for me, because I've gotten to, you know, be on a personal basis with him. So it's amazing.
Okay, cool. So we actually want to hear from someone who is in Dali's life. And we're actually going to be talking to Amina Williams, who is the founder of Wilhelmina Media.
Okay.
On the other side of this, I could see that he's panicking a little bit.
Like, okay. Who is this now?
So we're just going to take a short break, and then on the other side of this, we'll be back. This is the Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
We are in studio with Dalu Xolo. He is our first brand new heavy for 2019. And we decided that it's time for us to actually hear someone else, telling us about him, you know. So on the line, we're joined by Amina Williams, who is the founder of Wilhelmina Media. How are you, Amina?
I'm well, thank you. How are you, Steven?
No, we're doing all right. So please could you just let us know just a little bit more about Dali, because, you know, he's been telling us for the last 20 minutes about how awesome he is. So you can tell us, is he, you know...
Wow.
You know.
So for the short time that I have known him, I can confirm his awesomeness. He really is. That's what attracted me to him in the first place. I like that energy. We're both young individuals, so I feel like partnership is the way, and that's magic.
So I think something that we heard just now, DJ Spool DM'd Dali. You know, that's how that relationship began. How did your relationship with Dali begin? Was there a DM?
I did you not exactly the same. Because I'm not even joking. It was social media.
Yeah.
I was going through this guy's page. I was like, he's pretty active. He's out there. Clearly has a message and wants the world to know. And I was like, hey, actually, let me follow him. It's like in the media. I think I had a message considering it.
Okay, so we seem to be just having a bit of trouble, you know, with the line. So, you know, hopefully it improves. But for you going forward, what sort of things do you see Dali being able to actually accomplish?
Well, So I feel like he has the foundation, he has the mindset, and I feel like with that he can literally achieve anything he sets his mind to. We're young, as we said, so the time is now for young people to act up, have a voice, and yeah, do them, basically.
And then in terms of the message, and I guess more than anything else, his message and his age, do you feel like, because it's the message sounds like quite a mature message. Would you say he's a mature person?
Definitely. Actually, that's also like in his style. The first time I met him, I was like, oh, okay. Is this you? But yeah, definitely, I think through his thinking process to how he like sees himself and carries himself, yeah, you can definitely say that.
Okay. And then lastly, I guess for some of our listeners who might be out there, what would you say actually got you to notice Dally on social media? Because I think there are a lot of people that are active on social media, but what actually made you take note and actually say, okay, fine, this is a person who's actually going somewhere, that's how I want to work with? Because I'm sure some of our listeners are also trying to build their brand. So what do you think he got right?
I think three things. Probably his drive, his purpose, and consistency. Mm-hmm. I think with that, like, I could just tell it's like, this guy means business. He's not going to let anybody get in his way, and yeah, he's going for it. That's like the three things I think stood out for me the most.
Tell them when I please. I'm not stopping this.
Thank you so much, Amina.
The place is mine. Thank you,
Cesar. So, we were on the line. That was us talking to Amina Williams, who is the founder of Wilhelmina Media, just telling us about the drive, persistence, and consistency that she saw on Dally's social media. So, on the other side of this, we're just going to allow him to maybe respond a little bit, and then we'll come to the end of the show.
The Business Buzz.
This is the Business Buzz. We are almost at the end of our show. We are in the studio with Dalu Tolo. He is our first brand new heavy for 2019. And we also just came from talking to Amina Williams from Wilhelmina Media, who handles PR for him, just telling us a little bit more about him. So, in terms of your relationship with someone, you know, like Amina, I guess it begs the question of, how do you choose who to work with? You know, because I'm sure that there have actually been a number of people that have either reached out or you have tried to reach out to them. You know, so how do you decide which type of energies you want around you and the type of people you want to work with?
So like Smooth always told me to be very to be very careful of you know, the people that I work with or I engage with. And you know, for me, when I decided that, okay, cool, I'm going to work with Amina, because I worked with a couple of people before, it was never, like, the intentions were not, like, really straight, you know, they wanted to, like, you know, like, obviously, like, people want to make money, but, like, obviously, they were not really focused on me, per se, but they were focused on the money, and that vibe, I didn't like it. So, for me, how I choose the people that I want to work with at this point in time in my life is that I want to work with people that I can grow with. And you know, Amina, she even posted it today. She's like, she works like my mother, she works like my sister, you know, she works like my manager and my parent manager at the same time. So it's like a holistical approach, you know. So it's not just about, okay, cool, I'll get you gigs and then that's it, you give me my money and we're done, you know. I can call her in the middle of the night, I'm like, yo dude, I can't sleep because of this. I can tell her about this, I can tell her about all sorts of things. So I guess that's why I decided to work with her, because we literally growing together.
Okay, cool. What are you reading at the moment?
What am I reading at the moment? I am reading Oprah Winfrey, What I Know For Sure.
Yeah,
and of course I'm reading DJ Smooth's book. It's new, guys, go get it. It's called The Art of Hustling. Yeah.
Your favorite book?
My favorite book, it has to be DJ Smooth's book, Billionaires Under Construction. I'm not being biased. I just really love the book.
Do you actually feel like reading is important for what you do, or do you find it like as a necessary evil?
Yeah. Like, in the beginning, like, I only started reading, like, last year. So in the beginning, I never really, like, enjoyed reading.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I met Boo and stuff, he kind of, like, introduced the whole idea and the importance of reading. And it's really, like, you know, kind of, like, shaped my perspective and my outlook on certain things.
Mm.
And, you know, like they say, it's very cliche, but, like, knowledge is indeed power.
Yeah.
So when you read other people's stories or when you read, like, certain books based on certain subjects, then you kind of, like, you know, upskill yourself to be better. And I think the more you read and the more you open up your mind to more knowledge, the better you become.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last question. This is our tradition on the Business Buzz. All of our brand new heavies answer the same last question. What do you want your legacy to be?
Sure. So, I, like anybody else, obviously I want to leave a huge legacy.
Mm.
But more than anything, if I had to break it down, I just want to be that voice, bro.
Yeah.
Like, straight up. I want to be the voice where you feel like giving up, even when I'm dead. I want you to hear me here, like, in your ear. When you feel like giving up, when you're having those suicidal thoughts, when everything is not coming together, I want to be that voice that motivates you to get up. I want you to understand, like, that, you know, your dreams are possible, and I want you to understand that you can make them literally become a reality. I want you to hear me every morning at the back of your head. Wake up, go get it.
Hey,
do your thing. You have what it takes. God has endowed you with the gift of purpose and ability, and whatever you want to do in this world, whatever you want to achieve, you can literally do it.
Mm. So that brings us to the end of the show. We were with Daruklo Jameni in the studio. He is a radio personality. He is a, I'm going to call you an author just because you're doing the thing.
I receive.
I'm speaking into your life. He is an author a public speaker. And he was in studio with us, our first brand new heavy for 2019.
Feel special. Thank you
so much for coming to the studio. I think some takeaways is just the fact that, you know, you're dealing with a young man who clearly has a lot of confidence and a lot of self-belief in what he's doing. You know, I think when you're coming from a place like the Eastern Cape, I think because I was in the Eastern Cape for like 6 years,
so
I understand.
We're in the Eastern Cape.
I know I went to Rhodes, so
I was
in the Eastern Cape for like 6 years, and I understand that sometimes people kind of look down on the environment and they think that, you know, just because you're hustling in the Eastern Cape, you'll never get any notice.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is living proof that if you are excelling, right, and if you are an example of excellence, right, you always get noticed. And this is someone who was noticed by a very big media personality on the national stage, looking to someone who was doing their thing, you know, in the Eastern Cape. You know, so I think that's a very, you know, inspiring story. And more than anything else, I'm inspired by the age, because, you know, listen, this is Africa. We live we live in an ageist society.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's crazy. So I wish you all the best, especially
thank
in writing
so
the book.
Thank you.
Yeah, writing the book. Finish that thing.
It's so hard.
I know it's hard.
Like, you have to dig deep.
Yes, but you need to finish that thing. Yeah. So that's it. It's been a very, very, very interesting one. How can people actually follow you on social media?
So across Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter, it is Daruklo Jameni. It's spelled as Daluxol.
Yeah.
Jameni is Jalmeni. Daruklo Jameni across Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And on YouTube, it's The Chase with Dali.
The Chase with Dali.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you can also find us on social media. On Facebook, we are VAW FM, that's Voice of Wits. And then you can also find our other Facebook page, that's the Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VAW FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. On WhatsApp, we're 0840784912. And remember that you can stream the station on vawfm.co.za. Podcasts of the Business Buzz show are available online. You can find us on iTunes, on Iono, and the most central place you can find us on vits.journalism.co.za/business. So with that, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you so much to everyone who has been listening to our show. Thank you to our guests, and thank you to the amazing team. Thank you to our technical producer, that's Kutlwano Serame, and then our executive producer, that's Simba Honde, together with our producer Glory Mabuza. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week. Next up on the VAR FM lineup, we have Living Electro. Remember, the Business Buzz is sponsored by ABSA. For myself, Mudiyo Mob, Justice Gavaza, and the rest of the team, is good evening and take care.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz. The Business Buzz Podcast.